Well, this morning, after a week away, you'd think a week would just be a week. But there's something strange about missing a week, and everything seems longer. And so, as I was looking at the lectionary text this week, I found it interesting that we came back to, or at least the lectionary texts allow us to come back to, one of the fundamental things we need to think about. And, as I've said before, there's nothing wrong with going back and thinking about things you already know. Sometimes you see new aspects. Sometimes you're just reminded of why you believe this or think this already. And so this morning, we're going to be looking at our 2 Timothy text. Nothing wrong with the other ones, of course. Nothing else. I've always found it interesting that Scripture includes somebody who specifically says he doesn't care what God thinks of him, which you just don't get very much in that parable of the unjust judge. But instead, we're going to be looking at 2 Timothy. And the sermon title should give you some direction of, or some idea of the direction that I'm hoping to go. So what's Scripture? So what? What does that mean? All kinds of people have books, texts that they go back to over and over again. For some people, it's books of poetry. For some, it's self-help books or philosophy. For some, it's novels that they go back to and read again and go, aha, that reminds me of why I think this way, or this reminds me to do these particular things. Is Scripture any different? Many people go to Scripture just the same way that other people would go back to whatever self-help manual assisted them in perhaps breaking a habit. But Scripture is different. It's not just a book written across time by different authors. It's not just a collection of texts, some of which are easy to understand, some of which aren't. Some of which have obvious application, some you're not quite sure why they're there at all. There's something special about it. And Paul makes it very clear what that is, where he says in verse 16 of his second letter to Timothy, chapter 3, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the people of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All Scripture is God-breathed. Well, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that God blew on a piece of paper and Scripture appeared. It's not magic. There's a couple of things going on there. Paul chose God-breathed very carefully, because the word for breath, pneuma, is the same word for spirit. All Scripture is God-breathed. The Holy Spirit was involved in every word of Scripture. Now, admittedly, we don't have the original manuscripts. We don't have the very first written down texts. But we are confident that the texts we have are accurate reflections of what was originally written, and they were originally written under the active supervision of God in the form of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, not just the inspiration of native talent or creativity. That same Holy Spirit that was there at the beginning when God breathed life into Adam. That same Spirit that was part of the creative force that made everything. That's where Scripture comes from. And that's why what we can find when we read Scripture is that miraculous thing that happens. Every day, millions of people read Scripture. And every day, thousands of people read the exact same Scripture. They follow the same devotional practice, the offices of the day, there's all kinds of different names for it. And I think it's fair to say that hundreds of people read the exact same Scripture in the exact same translation. And for each of those people, exactly what they need comes from that same scripture. And it's not that we all, or they all need the same thing. It's that the miracle of scripture provides what they need. There's something special about this. It's not the same as all of us reading the same newspaper. Scripture accomplishes things that nothing else can. But so what? There's lots of things we could perhaps put in that category of the miraculous. What does this do for us? Well, I wish Paul would have used a word other than useful. Because when he says it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, useful just seems sort of, it's handy. You know, it's there. Use it if you want, but you don't have to. That's a lot more than that. What Paul's talking about when he says useful is that this is what you will use. This is, in a sense, the only thing you can use to accomplish these things. But why would we want to do them? Well, one of the tricky bits about Scripture is that a lot of it is written to a particular person, as this letter is. It was written to Timothy, one person writing a letter to another person, under the supervision and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so that it's more than a simple letter. And every once in a while, we run into things that it's kind of hard to tell. Are these for everybody or just for the person it was written to? For example, Paul writes to Timothy and says, you're having some stomach trouble. You should probably stop just drinking water and you should drink a little wine. Is that for everyone? Well, I don't think so. I think that for everyone who is in a situation where they don't have water purification and filtration, and where who knows what you're getting in the water you're drinking, maybe it's something for you. Good piece of advice. Paul is not telling Timothy, and by extension us, that we should never drink water and that we should only drink wine. It's something that we need a little bit of nuance for. When we drop down a couple of verses, chapter 4, verse 2, we see what Scripture can do for us. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Well, you can't preach what you don't know. Preaching the word means knowing the word. In this case, depending on your translation, the word has got a capital W, so it's another way to use language twice. Preach Jesus, but also preach Scripture. You need to know what's in there if you're going to preach it. But Timothy was a preacher, even more than a preacher. He was an apostle, an evangelist. He was called to preach in a way that, well, none of us are. I'm not called to preach to people who have never heard about Jesus. I mean, I'm sure I have that opportunity now and then, but on the whole, I preach here. I preach at Knox. Every once in a while, I'll preach at First Baptist. You know, we won't say anything about who knows Jesus there or not. We'll just leave that one alone. And hope that none of them listen to this particular recording. So, does that mean we can ignore this? Well, no. Because preaching is so much more than standing in front of people and speaking words. We've all heard the saying, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. We're all called to preach the word in season and out of season. In season and out of season means as much as anything. We're called to preach the word when it's natural, it's convenient, it's easy, and then sometimes when it's not so easy. Sometimes the season is there to hear, or for people to hear exactly what you have to say, and they even come and ask you, and then sometimes the conversation perhaps isn't that easy, but it's still part of your call, is that when you have the opportunity to preach the word, to be prepared to correct, to rebuke sometimes, to encourage, using Holy Scripture to do so. Not because you get paid to be an evangelist, not because you're called to stand on the street corner and talk to whoever's there, not because you're called to preach this way, but because you're called as a follower of Jesus to be ready to speak the truth about God and about people. That's kind of what preaching is. opening Scripture in appropriate ways at the appropriate time. I was going to say it's not hard, but it can be difficult. And so we look at this and we see that Scripture, through the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit, is a living thing. It's described as a living word in other places. It's not just something that was written down once. And yes, there are some things in Scripture that are contextual, that don't apply the same way, or they don't apply literally to us. But the great themes, the great principles, the great message of Scripture is as applicable now as it was the moment it was proclaimed. And we need to pay attention to that. It doesn't mean that we need to go through Scripture and know it all. I don't think we can. I don't think anybody can. It's a very large book. There's a lot of stuff in there. To suggest that anybody could know all of it, I think, is just unreasonable. Are we called to be able to explain everything in it to anyone's question at any time? No. We're called to be ready to preach the word, to give the good news of God's intimate concern for everyone and love for all of his creation. We're called to be ready to do that at any time. And then sometimes it's going to be even, well, some ways a little bit trickier. Because Paul says, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Well, I don't know when sound doctrine got tossed out the window. But I don't think we have it now. And the way I've come up with that, and I'm not talking about the doctrinal purity of a particular denomination or group of people. I'm saying that the moment we moved into the context, moved into a world where my opinion is just as good as everybody else's, sound doctrine went out the window. My opinion about your health is not as good as your doctor's. And of course, we all agree on that. My opinion about your financial situation is not the same as good as, or for that matter, even remotely as good as, your financial advisors. But we have this idea in our culture that, and sure, it's contradictory because people who believe this still go to a doctor for advice. They don't ask the first person they see. But we have this idea that in this huge range of things, all of our opinions are equal. Well, they're just not. Someone's opinion of ethics that allows them to steal with impunity does not have anything to say about ethics. They have left sound doctrine behind. And Paul tells us that the time will come when people just won't put up with it. And what they'll do is they'll go to whoever will tell them what they want to hear, which through the wonders of the internet only takes you about 10 minutes of searching to find somebody who says exactly what you want to hear, whether it's sensible or not. We've now reached the point where the brainy people who invented and make Google work, it pays attention to your searches as you make them. And so over time, it is more likely to tell you exactly what you want to hear. Even if you and this one other person are the only people who believe this in the entire world, it's getting easier and easier to find someone to tickle your ears in Paul's very interesting turn of phrase. But he finishes up and says, but you, that's Timothy, but it's also us. Keep your head in all situations. Sometimes you might have to endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. He's not talking about a professional evangelist only. We should pay more attention, I think, to the last bit, discharge all the duties of your ministry, because your ministry is what you have been called to do. That's the difference that you've been called to make in your community, here and everywhere. None of us are called to affect every person in the world. Even Billy Graham didn't get to speak to everybody in the world, although came about as close as anyone ever has, I think. No. We're called to discharge the duties of our ministry about being good parents if we have children, good spouses and partners, good workers, good citizens. We're supposed to be ready to talk about why we believe what we believe whenever we can. We're called to bring the truths of Scripture to all parts of our lives. Because that's the so what of Scripture. Scripture, God-breathed, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Scripture, this living Word, is the foundation on which we can build our lives. The unchanging truths of Scripture, the messages about God that will never change, are the foundation of our lives and give us a foundation to build on. Without a foundation, you can't build anything very big. You can build little things. If you want to build a house without a foundation, I think you're in trouble. If you want to build a church without a foundation, if you want to build a skyscraper, we need foundations. And our God-breathed Scripture is our foundation, so that we can, when we need to, correct, perhaps even rebuke, but encourage. There's always room for more encouragement. I know I can use more encouragement. I'm sure all of you can. There's always time for encouragement, and encouragement comes from Scripture. It's not all rebuke. It's not all correction. We need to be ready to do that whenever we're called to do that. Because I don't know the ins and outs of each of your particular ministry. You can't even give me your job description and have me read it, because it doesn't quite work that way. But I know that whatever your ministry is, Scripture is part of making it successful. Knowing Scripture, not memorizing every word, not knowing every doctrinal in and out. You don't need to wait till you're there. Knowing Scripture, being aware of what's there, being willing to say, I don't know sometimes when you hit questions that you don't know the answer to. Knowing Scripture will enable you to discharge all the duties of your ministry, whatever it is. Whether it's a ministry of encouragement, helping, administration, whatever you're called to do, Scripture is part of what is going to make that happen, make it possible, and make it successful. Amen.